Hello, this is Chuck Finney, and this is Your Legal Rights, and thank you for joining us as we celebrate Your Legal Rights being on public radio for 30 years, believe it or not. On this segment of the program, this is our usual landlord-tenant laws and issues program that we try to do at least every 6 weeks or so. My guests are James Coy Driscoll, an attorney who represents tenants and has law offices in San Francisco. My other guest is Mark Seidenfeld. This is the big team. Everybody. This is the star team that's here.
Good to see you, Chuck.
Yeah. Mark Seidenfeld is a real estate attorney who represents landlords and tenants. His offices are in South San Francisco.
I just moved my office. I'm in San Bruno now.
It's in San Bruno. All right. Thank you very much for correcting me on that. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, by the San Mateo County Bar Association, the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. And gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Great to have you here. And for those of you who are listening to the program live, I want to let you know that in a couple of minutes I will give you our on-air number. And for those of you who are listening to the program live, I think you know this is also our call a lawyer night, which we do try to do every month, usually on the fourth Wednesday of the month. All right, before we take any calls on the air, I want to find out, is there anything abrew that we need to be aware of that's going on that you think is new, unique, or that people need to be reminded about?
Well, there are several things, actually. In the legislature, there's a move underway to tighten or restrict the use of Ellis Act evictions. Ellis Act evictions are the ones where the owner of a property decides to go out of the landlord business and empties an entire structure. And according to critics of it, the way it's being done in San Francisco, speculators, people who are interested in flipping properties and emptying the units and selling them as condos or TICs, are using this, and it's really an abuse of what it was designed for. Mm-hmm. So this is in the legislature now. What will happen with it? I have no idea.
You don't have a prediction of what the legislature will do?
Well, I think it's probably going to pass, although It probably won't be as severe as what I'm reading now in the initial proposal.
Does severe mean good?
depends on whose ox is being gored, as you know.
I know that ox.
Yeah.
I think it'll be very, very difficult for landlords. Not every Ellis Act eviction is by a speculator who's trying to sell to make condos. So.
And the version I've seen of the legislation actually deals with that you wouldn't be able to do it unless you've been in business so many years.
Yeah.
I think it's 5 years at this point.
Another issue that's it went into effect, I think, January of this year in San Francisco. A landlord now has to designate certain units as non-smoking units and the others as places where smoking is allowed, and has to inform new tenants, new would-be tenants, that there are smoking units located in these places and that smoke could conceivably transfer into his or her unit. And in other words, to make prospective tenants aware that there is smoking in the building.
Let me ask you this, because this has come up before and I'd like to get your take on this. Some people get prescriptions by medical doctors for marijuana to assist them with their medical problem, which may be an appetite problem because someone has cancer or whatever.
Sure.
A legitimate prescription, which I understand is acceptable under California law. Am I right on that so far?
Yes.
All right. So if someone is a renter and has a legitimate prescription from a medical doctor to be able to smoke marijuana, is that still someone who cannot smoke marijuana in the non-smoking area?
That's a very good question.
Well, that's why I asked. Yeah.
I don't think there's any legal guidance on
really?
It yet.
Well,
and I would look at, of course, from the tenant's perspective, as at very least there has to be reasonable accommodation, because whatever the underlying problem is, it's most likely classified as a disability.
Yes.
Yeah. The thing is, this is not a landlord-tenant matter. This is a tenant-tenant matter.
Yes, I understand.
The landlord usually doesn't live there, so it's one tenant complaining about smoke coming into his unit from another tenant's unit.
But the landlord has the responsibility if a tenant complains about
this.
Yes,
yes. Each tenant is entitled to the quiet use and enjoyment of his premises.
Right, right.
And if smoke's coming in and that smoke is offensive to that person, it's a real problem. And I don't know what the answer is.
I think, frankly, in something like this, considering that there are legitimate marijuana prescriptions for people who should be under a doctor's prescription and under a doctor's care, smoking marijuana to help them. It should be, as far as I'm concerned, for tenants that they should inquire as they are looking to find a place to rent, to discuss with the manager of the building or the owner of the building, what is your position if someone has a prescription for marijuana? Are you going to let them into the area that supposedly is non-smoking, or how are you going to deal with it? This is what I would do.
Well, as you know, Chuck, not all marijuana use is because of a prescription.
Oh, I understand.
So
that's illegal if it's not pursuant to a prescription.
A landlord won't know necessarily that somebody has a prescription or that marijuana is being used at all unless there's a complaint.
Well, that's true.
My own take on it is that as smoke is being regulated, it seems to me it would apply to marijuana smoke because it's analogous to tobacco smoke.
Yes.
It's offensive to some people.
Yeah.
What the courts will do with it, though, I honestly don't know.
Well, and I think that requiring people to disclose that they have a need to do this is like it would lead to discrimination, just like saying I have a walking impairment. Mm-hmm. Do you want to rent to me? So I think that there's ADA and local state fair housing problems with requiring a person to disclose that.
So we're going to see what happens at some point.
Eventually, this will work its way through the court system.
This is a naughty area that yes. we and I'm not spelling it as N-A-U-G-H-C-Y. I'm not spelling it that way.
We know.
Yeah, okay. All right. Anything else before I let people know that they might be able to call in and talk to you?
That's the only thing I've seen recently that's relatively new.
I agree.
All right. If you have a question for Off the Air, this is our Call a Lawyer night, by the way. We have several attorneys. Some have not yet shown up because of the rain, but hopefully they'll all be here. The number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. We have workers' comp, criminal law, family law, legal malpractice law, immigration and nationality law, landlord-tenant law. We have tax law, real estate. We have lemon law, patent law. Tomorrow, Leon Baer will take your calls with regard to bankruptcy law if you'd like to talk with him, and I'll give you that phone number later. So if you'd like to talk with our Call a Lawyer lawyers off the air, no obligation on your part whatsoever. It's 1-800-525-9917. If you'd like to pose a question to my guests on the air, it's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our regular, usually at least every 6 weeks, Landlord-Tenant Laws and Issues program. My guests are James Coy Driscoll and Mark Seidenfeld. They are really incredibly experienced attorneys in the area of landlord-tenant, both on the rent ordinance standpoint as well as state law. So I hope you will join us with your question, your comment, and we have so far talked about the Ellis Act eviction, which is before the legislature at this point. We've talked a bit about non-smoking, what's going on, and how it may apply to people who have legitimate prescriptions for smoking marijuana. That's kind of up in the air in terms of what may be the situation. So maybe you have some questions that you would like to pose to my guests, and we'll hear what they have to say about that. I guess there's still the same old problem with regard to security deposits, that people still are saying, my landlord is really slow on giving me back my security deposit.
And landlords complaining that tenants want everything back when they left the place a mess. It's a double-edged...
and landlords failing to give the pre-move-out inspection that's required by law and has been for about 5 years.
Pre-move, okay. Talk about that briefly.
Sure. If it's a non-fault, like not a violation of the lease or non-payment, but when, you know, either side gives notice on a 30 or 60-day basis, then the landlord is required to offer, the tenant a pre-move-out inspection.
That's under the code.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
That's statewide.
Yeah.
And if he or she does not do that, I believe there's some case law, and perhaps my colleague here could tell me otherwise, that says that the landlord has forfeit the right to keep
any part of the
security deposit.
That's very interesting. Okay.
I would just point out that a lot of tenants do not avail themselves of this. Mm-hmm. They don't want to bother. They're packing, whatever. And it's a big mistake. They really should do that because it gives them a reason to complain if the landlord does withhold money.
Sure.
It's, you know, yeah. I was there. This was fine when I left. And now he's claiming it's broken.
Mark, what is the minimum amount of time that a tenant needs to give a landlord a request? I'd like to have the walkthrough before I leave the premises. How soon before the end of the tenancy should the tenant do that?
Well, I would say at least 2 weeks before.
At least 2 weeks.
To give himself time afterwards to correct any issues that are found there. Yeah. But it's the landlord's obligation to offer it to the tenant.
Right.
And the landlord is also required at the time of the inspection to inform the tenant of any defects, then in writing.
Ah, okay. At that time.
Right.
Any defects that he can determine at that time.
Okay.
Yes.
So
if it's hidden behind the couch, no.
Yeah, okay. Right. That's something else again. Or if the tenant kicks in the wall before the tenant leaves.
Exactly.
That's another little thing we want to be concerned about. All right, let's keep the faith now, everybody. Faith, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi,
Faith. Go ahead.
Am I okay talking about things that are not tenant issues at this point?
What did you want to talk about? What's your question about?
Oh well, I had a question about inheritance. For children who are not natural-born children.
Okay, that is not on the program. We're doing landlord-tenant. What I would suggest, if you don't mind, Faith, hopefully there will be someone here that can give you some direction. Do you consider this a family law question?
Yes.
All right.
So.
Let me ask you to call our Call a Lawyer night. Would you like to take that down?
Yes.
Because there are lawyers here for, this is our special night as we're celebrating 30 years of Your Legal Rights on public radio. In conjunction, we're doing our regular Call a Lawyer night. So let me give you the number.
I'm sorry, I got confused on that.
That's all right. Do you have the number or do you want me to give it to you?
Fire away.
Yeah. 1-800-525-9917.
Okay.
If you'll call that number and say, I have a family law question, someone will help you and give you some direction. So thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck, Faith. Yeah, good
it.
Luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. All right. Yes, this is our landlord-tenant program. And we're going to talk about landlord-tenant questions and issues if we can. Usually what I do is I tease some of my guests when they come on, and let's say we're going to talk about family law. I say to my guests, when my assistant, who is Martin McLean, I say to them, Martin, don't take too many landlord questions on the air tonight, will you? And that kind of shakes up my guests, but that's a joke with them. So in any event, we're going to go to our next caller and see what the caller has to say. And this time it's Cindy. Cindy, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You may have addressed this earlier because I just came into the program about 10 minutes ago.
That's all right.
Talking about smoke.
Yeah.
But in this case, the question is not about marijuana. It's about regular cigarette smoke.
Yes.
So I live in a 16-unit building, and my question is, if another tenant is smoking, and it's not necessarily a smoke-free building, in fact, I just looked at my lease, nothing in it about smoke or not, Do I, as a tenant, have the right to ask the landlord to ask that other person in the other unit to stop smoking?
Let me try to make sure that we're all on the same wavelength here. You have looked at your lease, and it does not prohibit smoking in the complex?
It doesn't say anything about smoking.
Okay, all right. Let me get a comment. Let me get a comment starting with Mark, and
sure.
This will be Mark's voice, and then I'm sure Coy will have something to say, and I want you all to get familiar with their voices because...
There's a quiz later.
Yeah, there is a quiz later, everybody, so get ready with a piece of paper. What do you have?
The first thing that needs to be said is that smoking in common areas is prohibited by law. It doesn't need to be in the...
That's California law.
That's certainly
common
San
areas.
Francisco. I don't know about the state.
I don't think so.
Okay, it's San Francisco. Okay.
Right. But if there's nothing in the rental agreement prohibiting someone from smoking in his or her unit, then in theory that person's entitled to do it. Mm-hmm. The landlord does have an obligation to give you the quiet enjoyment of your premises.
Mm-hmm.
There have been cases that have actually gone to trial, and landlords do have that obligation. And one possible remedy is to get the tenant who smokes to install some sort of equipment to get the smoke out of his unit instead
mm-hmm.
of going through the walls.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't know how effective that would be. A lot of the buildings in San Francisco are very old. The walls mm-hmm. are very thin. They leak. There are drafts, corners, edges, whatever. And I'm not really sure there is a solution to it.
Where do you live, Cindy? What city?
San Francisco.
You are in San Francisco. Okay.
And following up on Mark's...
This is Coy.
Following up on Mark's proposed solution, I think it isn't incumbent on the tenant who smokes to fix the problem, but the landlord to somehow alleviate the problem, perhaps by putting in better insulation
mm-hmm.
or sealing the unit better. But... he has he meaning the landlord, has an obligation to provide the other tenant, in this case Cindy, with a place that's habitable for them.
Yeah.
And I don't think the onus falls on the other tenant.
I am aware of cases that settled, though, where the tenant who was smoking was basically agreeable to taking action on his own.
Not a client of mine.
Is Cindy, is this something, this tenant that you're referring to is smoking inside of his or her apartment, is that correct?
Correct.
Not down the hallway leading to yours and to that other person's apartment?
Not in a common...
Okay, okay.
Is there a particular place where it's coming through, or is it just coming through the whole wall?
It's really hard to tell because there's so many vents in this building and in the individual apartment. So it's not the window. It has to be the vents, as we're talking about. I'm thinking
that's the problem.
Well, that's something the landlord should be able to address. Mm-hmm. I would complain to the landlord about it, and I would put it in writing.
Yeah.
You know, be polite, but say there's a problem, and I would like you to address it.
Have you tried doing this at all, Cindy, with the landlord?
I'm sorry.
Have you tried complaining to the landlord at all about this?
This is a brand new thing. The tenant just moved in.
Ah, okay.
I've had this problem to this point. But if I'm understanding correctly, the tenant has a right to smoke. The landlord has an obligation to make everybody happy and solve it. If that's not happening, then the worst case scenario is going to court for this. Is that correct?
Well, not necessarily. You may be able to... try to get some mediation on this?
I want to say it's not the landlord's obligation to make everybody happy, okay? If he could do that, we'd all be moving into his building.
We'd all be happy, yeah.
But he does have an obligation to make sure that you have the quiet enjoyment of your premises. And that means things like not having tobacco smoke in your unit from another unit. And if it is a question of the ventilation systems can be changed, improved, closed off, whatever. And it's something that should be brought to his attention.
Okay.
Before you would go to court, you might consider going to the rent board and asking them to decrease your rent because the value of the premises is less than what the agreed rent is because of this inconvenience. That will get the landlord's attention, I can assure you.
One other thing, just because your lease doesn't address smoking, it doesn't mean that the new tenant's lease doesn't address smoking.
Good point. Yeah.
And there, you know, it very well may. And your call to the landlord might result in, or your, as Mark said, letter to the landlord might result in the landlord going, he's not supposed to smoke in there.
good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Cindy, thank you.
Very good ideas.
All right. Thank you, Cindy. All right. It's our Call a Lawyer night, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. We have workers' compensation law, criminal law, family law, legal malpractice law, immigration and nationality law, landlord-tenant law, employment law, tax law, real estate, patent law, aviation law, lemon law. Boy, I'll tell you, it's incredible.
So much law.
And then we have tomorrow Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy, who will take your calls on his 800 number. And I'll give you that information in a little bit. So the number for Call a Lawyer Night tonight is 1-800-525-9917. If you'd like to talk to my guests, the number is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're celebrating Your Legal Rights being on public radio for 30 years, believe it or not, this month. And so I'm very pleased with that. I started this as a project to try to educate people about their legal rights and prevent problems. And I'm very pleased that we've been able to continue to go. And the program, from the funding standpoint, it's not a big budget, but it still has a primarily state bar money to fund this. And I'm very pleased that we're still going. My guests are Mark Seidenfeld and James Coy Driscoll, both very experienced attorneys in landlord-tenant law. And Mark primarily represents landlords, although sometimes represents tenants. And James Coy Driscoll, he only represents tenants. He's very hard-nosed about that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. In any event, one other thing, Cindy, I wanted to mention to you is that one of the things that's available to people, if you don't get the attention of the landlord, either from the rent board or, let's say, even before that, if the landlord doesn't respond to your complaint in writing, you might want to file a complaint with the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, because it has a mediation program that may be helpful in trying to bring you, the landlord, and that other tenant together. It's worth at least an effort on your part, and I wish you good luck. And let's see, we've got Rosario. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me here.
Well, I'm very pleased to have you here.
I have a very, very special question here, because I have lived in an apartment building for almost 6 years now. Mm-hmm. Next month I will be 6 years there. But it's about 7 months that is a disabled.
You know, there's something wrong with your line. Are you on a cell phone?
Yes.
You know, you're blanking out. Do you have a landline phone that you could call on?
No.
You know, you're breaking up. That's the problem, Rosario. I'll tell you what. Martin, see if you can take this call from Rosario, if you would. See if you can get her question and then bring it in here. And I think what we need to do, Rosario, you hang on, and Martin will talk with you. Right now, I want to go to one of the other listeners, Tristan, if we can. Tristan, are you there? Tristan? Hello? Is this Tristan?
This is she.
Yeah, come on. You're on the air. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you so much. I just have a question about pets.
About pets, all right.
Yes. I recently moved in with my boyfriend, who is already in an apartment. He's been there for several years. And his lease says no pets without prior written consent from the landlord.
Yeah.
So when I moved in, I have two cats, so I met with the landlord, gave him all my information, and said, by the way, I have two cats. Is there any way we can go about getting them here? Do you want additional deposit or anything? And he said, oh, no, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And I was there, my boyfriend was there, but we didn't get anything in writing.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of worried, you know, we're paranoid and wondering, oh, God, what if we run into problems later? Is that going to be enough that we can both say that he gave verbal consent and we, you know, made a note somewhere, or do we need
when did you move in? When did you move in, Tristan? How long ago?
February 1st.
Okay. And so both cats are inside. Are they indoor cats?
they are indoor.
Okay, and they stay indoor. You know, my suggestion, and I'm not a landlord-tenant attorney, but my suggestion under these circumstances is that you send and keep a copy of this a letter or deliver a letter to the landlord just confirming the fact that you had met with the landlord had approved your bringing in two cats to live in the apartment with you, and you just wanted to put that in a nice way with the landlord, just wanted to put it in writing. Mark, what comments do you have, since you represent a lot of landlords?
Most landlords don't object to cats. Yeah. They object to dogs. Yeah. I agree with your suggestion. That's exactly what I would do. Just send them a note saying, gee, it was nice to meet you, and this will confirm that you agreed that we can have two cats here.
Yeah.
And I would add to that, don't just send a letter, sent certified mail, return receipt requested, so that the landlord or his descendants, when he passes 35 years from now, say, what agreement? We never got that letter.
Well, wait a minute. At 35 years from now, she's going to have 14 cats in that place. What are you talking about?
Don't jinx me.
It also implies that she's going to keep that receipt for 35 years.
Yeah,
not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you, Tristan, but I think... I think you don't have a real problem. Doesn't sound like it at this point. And you live where? In San Francisco?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good luck. Good
okay,
luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. Very nice to hear from you. We have, let's see. All right. What we're going to do is, let me do this. We're getting, I think we have 2 minutes left of the statewide version of the program. Let me alert those of you who are listening live. In other words, you're hearing the program live, either in the Bay Area or on the Internet at www.kalw.org. We continue for a full hour, both live in the Bay Area as well as live on the Internet. And for those of you who only get the program delayed, the half-hour version, that's the statewide version, which we do send out by CD to a number of stations throughout California that listen to it. So for those of you who are listening to the program live, we will continue for another half an hour, and you'll be able to call in and talk with my guests, and I will give you the phone number to call in and also alert you that this is our Call a Lawyer night, and those of you who are listening to us live will be able to talk to our Call a Lawyer lawyers, and we do this on every month, usually the fourth Wednesday of the month. It is about 7:28 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our regular end-of-the-month program on landlord-tenant laws and issues. We try to do this actually about every 6 weeks or so. It is, as turns out, the most significant topic, of course, that we deal with from the standpoint of people calling in and asking questions. The number that you can call to talk with my guests on the air is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. In celebrating, and this is a coincidence, in celebrating Your Legal Rights being on public radio for 30 years this month, we are also doing our Call a Lawyer night, which we do on usually the fourth Wednesday of the month. And let me tell you who is here for that. For workers' compensation law, certified specialist Alice O'Sullivan, former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. For criminal law, Jeff Hayden, certified specialist. For family law, certified specialist Janet Lee Frankel, who will get back to you. I think if you call in with a family law question, your name and phone number will be taken and delivered to Janet, who will get back to you. For legal malpractice law, certified specialist Peter Fortune. For immigration and nationality law, certified specialist J. Antonio Nieres. For landlord-tenant law, Jessica Chilik. For landlord-tenant law and employment law, John Brown. For tax law, real estate, Frank Adam. For patent law, aviation law, lemon law, Ron Rohde. And tomorrow, if you are being hounded by creditors and you'd like to find out if there's anything you might do in terms of the bankruptcy law, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available to you on his 800 number from 8 a.m. to noon. That's tomorrow, Thursday, February 27th. That number, you want to jot it down, 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call and you get his voicemail, leave your name and phone number. He will call you back. He is has been incredibly generous with his time for many, many years, as have my guests on the air here, as well as people in the conference room for Call a Lawyer. So this evening on Call a Lawyer, whether you are in the Bay Area or you're listening to us anywhere else in the state, by way of the internet, is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. And we have a lot of people who would like to talk to... Okay, Bella. Bella, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you very much, and happy 30th anniversary.
Thank you very much.
I actually am a landlord.
Ah.
And I have a residence in Oakland, and we have a cottage in the back that we rent out.
Okay, so do you live in the residence?
Yes.
And so you rent out the cottage in the back.
Correct.
Okay, and your question?
It's a small two-bedroom cottage, and usually it's a grad student who enjoys staying there. Mm-hmm. So we like keeping it quiet because it's close to where we live. And I'm wondering, in our lease, we usually offer some kind of a incentive, a financial incentive, to try to encourage it to be a one-person resident.
Uh-huh.
We say that, you know, if it's only one person there, then the fee is discounted by like $100.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that's legal.
Go ahead, Mark.
I don't see why it wouldn't be.
No, I don't either. Do you see any problem with that, Coy?
I'm not familiar with the Oakland ordinance, the Oakland rules and regulations, but in San Francisco, you cannot charge extra for an extra person being there.
Oh, you cannot. Okay.
So I would suggest that it would be wise to I'm not talking about starting the lease, but if you put in, you can't put in that, and if anybody else moves in, the rent goes
up. Right. You could, though, say, here's the rent, and if it stays as one person, then we're actually going to charge you $100 less. But you can't – what you've said is correct, though. You can't, in San Francisco at least, charge more if an extra person moves in.
Right, and I don't know if you could actually get away with doing that as a negative in San Francisco because it's it's implicitly doing the same thing, only –
Let me throw out a question to both of you, and one that might be somewhat helpful for Bella. If, for example, her rent for the cottage back there, this is out of the smoke, $1,000 a month, and she's gotten her lease, as long as there's one person here living in the premises, the rent will be, for that one person, $900. If there's more than one person, then the rent goes back to $1,000. Is that okay?
I am also not personally familiar with the Oakland rent ordinance.
Yeah.
I know there is one there.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like it should be okay.
Yeah.
But your best bet would be to consult an attorney who is familiar with the Oakland rent ordinance.
Yeah. You know, Bella, you've rented your cottage before, have you not?
Oh yeah, for 25 years.
Oh my goodness! All right. So how many people are living in the cottage right now?
One.
Only one. Okay.
And
you know,
we don't change the price, you know, it's a year lease.
Ah, okay.
And if a second person were to move in the middle, we would not change the price. So we
I understand.
At the get-go, offer this incentive.
You know, here's a thought that I have for you, which is one that I think makes a lot of sense. I think it would be wise for you, if you have not done this before, since obviously this is a business operation that you have as a landlord for the cottage and you've been doing this for 25 years or whatever, I think it would be worth it for you to contact the Alameda County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and make an appointment with their help, with an attorney for half an hour who represents landlords. I think it'll cost you maybe $35. It's a wonderful investment, I believe. You've not done this before?
No, I never heard about it, and that's quite...
My goodness. Come on.
It's been worth the dime of the phone call.
Well, yeah. Let me give you the phone number for the Alameda County Bar Association. Ask for the lawyer referral service. Here it is, 510-302-2222.
Yep. Okay. Okay.
And you ask for lawyer referral, and then you tell them I'm a landlord, and I'd like to have an appointment with an attorney who represents landlords in the landlord-tenant area. And they'll find there's loads of attorneys in Alameda County who do landlord-tenant work. Make sure you get try to get one who represents landlords, and you'll have a half an hour consultation. It's a wonderful investment, and I highly recommend it.
Thank you very much for the recommendation. Appreciate
sure.
it.
Sure. Okay, Bella. Take care. Support for KOW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. For a referral to a lawyer, you can call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, because the San Mateo County Bar Association is also a funder of this program, it, too, has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own. Again, during normal business hours, you should be able to get a human being on the phone, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other city in the state of California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced in that area of the law. They'll set up a half an hour consultation for you, usually with the attorney in the attorney's office. If you have a disability and can't get in, make sure you tell them that, and I think they'll do their best to try to set up something for you by a telephone consultation. What it works out to be in most counties throughout California, either a low of $25 or a high of $35. It's a great investment in terms of getting some basic information. Again, this is our monthly Call a Lawyer night, and the number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. And we have someone who has called who wants to be anonymous. All right, anonymous, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question because I live in fear over here of public housing.
Oh, my. Okay.
And I've been making complaints, and, of course, everybody avoids me. HUD doesn't listen to me. Mm. But my question is, I've been calling PG&E because this street light's out here. Mm. It's pitch dark over here where I live in Hunter's View right now.
Oh,
it's been like that for 2 weeks. I've been calling in. I've been calling 311, and then they said PG&E, that's their light. I've been telling PG&E about how I'm living in fear and stuff, and it's pitch dark. I live in the worst neighborhood in San Francisco, and I've been making complaints with, the lights are still, it's so black outside.
Mm.
That's what I wanted to tell you. I don't know why PG&E, it only should only take them 1 day or 2 days, and the lady goes, well, why didn't you call the police? And I go, anyway, I'm just so frustrated.
I don't blame you. And
it's
you
dark out here, and I'm living in fear. I live in, it's like my house is in prison because the complaints I've been doing, and stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, nobody's listening to me, so I don't know what to do.
Let me get some comments for you, Anonymous. And this is a serious problem, and I'm very disappointed that PG&E has not come out.
I told
there.
Them I live in the worst neighborhood in San Francisco, and all she can say is, well, we got a lot of people out there, and I'm going, well, can't they stop by here real quick?
Here's a simple suggestion I have to do in addition to everything else. I think if you would, I think you should call the San Francisco District Attorney's Office. Listen to me, if you would, Anonymous. The San Francisco District Attorney's Office. You can find that in the phone book.
They don't like me.
I don't care if they don't like you or not. You should call them and see if you can get one of them to call PG&E and see if they can get PG&E's attention. But let me talk to Mark for a moment. Go ahead, Mark.
My suggestion would be, rather than go to the district attorney, would be to go to your local supervisor. I don't know who represents
that
district.
That's Maria. She's not for our community. She's like...
Well, let Mark finish, please.
Most local politicians are very interested and have staff that do nothing except provide this kind of service to their constituents, people who have problems with a local utility with Social Security Administration, okay. all sorts of things. And okay. and you might try that. I don't know if you've done that, but if you haven't, you should do that, I think.
And I'd add two other things. First of all, I agree with Mark to call your supervisor's office. Mm-hmm. I'd also call the mayor's office because they have people who serve the same function. And the last thing I would suggest is calling, if you're in Nancy Pelosi's district, calling her office.
Really?
Because
okay.
I worked for city government, I will mm-hmm. tell you years ago, the thing that went to the very top of the pile were calls from public officials, especially members of Congress. No. They did not get ignored. They got taken care of right away. Yeah. And I don't know whether it's a city light and street lighting is responsible for it or if it's PG&E, but I bet you a call from a few of these offices would get people's attention.
Good luck okay. to you, Anonymous, and make some calls tomorrow. You've got nothing to lose but a lot to gain. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, and good luck. All right. We've got Matthew. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, Chuck. How you doing?
All right. How are you, Matthew?
Doing good.
What's going on?
So, we had...
What happened? Where are you, Matthew? Uh-oh, we lost him. All right. Let's go to Celine, and we'll go to Celine in just a minute. This is our Call a Lawyer night, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Please, if you are calling and you are on a cell phone, please try to find some place where you think that the reception will work, because tonight we've had two callers on cell phones where I had to cut off Rosario because it was awful, and Matthew was cut off on his own, and I don't know whether he was driving in a car or whatever it is. And that's a problem, and we want you to have a chance to talk both on the air if you want or for Call a Lawyer night, but please be careful with your cell phones that you're in a good spot. Celine, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thank you. I've lived at my place for 7.5 years, and I've had issues ever since I moved in with my landlord, and I've kind of been through every, you know, agency and organization and consulted with many lawyers, and it's just I'm not able to find a solution.
What's the basic problem?
Well, it's the building is substandard. There was never like a legal plan, you know, because it's so old.
Yeah.
So
where are you? What city?
I'm in San Francisco.
You are.
And
okay.
It's over 100-year-old building. It's
what do you pay for your rent? How much a month for rent?
$2,800. Well, $2,706 actually.
Okay. All right. $2,706. And are you covered? Do you know if you're covered by the rent ordinance?
You mean that they cannot only raise the
rent? No. Do you know if your building is under the provisions of the San Francisco rent ordinance?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
Yes, it is.
have you gone to the rent board?
Yes, I've been there many times.
And they have not done anything for you?
No, it seems to be a very unique and complex situation that, you know, nobody quite knows what the solution is. I just think... You know, this building has been unlivable for previous residents, but they would just leave, you know, which allows the landlord to, you know, keep charging more rent. And I've just kind of been staying because of default of not being able to move in the
Celine,
city after living
Celine,
here.
Celine, here's Coy. Here's
have
Coy.
Have you filed a complaint with Department of Building Inspection?
Yes, I've had them come out twice.
Did they cite the landlord?
There was some minor violations, but the major problem is that the other tenants who are surrounding my unit on all sides are like longtime residents or family members of the landlord. And so, you know, it's just too many people in the building and the walls are too thin. And since we've already been fighting, you know, they've been taking me to court and calling the police on me and everything. So it's just such a hostile situation at this point. Yeah,
Is it impossible, Celine, for you to find another livable place for 28 or 27, whatever it is, per month?
I've actually been looking quite a lot in the city, and because this is a very large place, and it's, you know, my whole lifetime estate that's here, because I moved here with my husband, And, you know, so I'm not able to find anything comparable.
Wow.
And also the competition for the people who, you know, are trying to rent to these places in the city. I'm not as qualified because I'm unemployed and I don't have any rental reference now because my landlord is, and I are not getting along.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
So,
You would not want to move somewhere else in another city, perhaps? Where
well,
might...
I mean, you know, it seems to be my only option is what people keep saying to me is like, well, it looks like you might just have to leave the city,
yeah.
You know, which seems to be kind of unfair and unhelpful, you know. And
well, let me get a comment from Mark.
First of all, if you were to move to Daly City, you'd be closer to a lot of parts of San Francisco than where you may live now. So the part about leaving the city, I won't even go any further on that.
Yeah.
But it seems to me you may have a case of what we call constructive eviction.
Mm-hmm.
If there are continuous problems there and they've been brought to the landlord's attention, which it sounds like they have, and the landlord hasn't done anything about it, you could move out and sue the landlord. Get a tenant attorney, a feisty one like Coy over here, and sue the landlord.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
gets people's attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. Of course, the question is whether it's a matter of the neighbors not liking you and getting along with you, or if there's some uncorrected defects, code violations in the building. And I'm hearing it's more the former than the latter. So
yes.
I don't know if that would really amount to constructive eviction. It would depend on exactly what they're doing and what you can prove they're doing.
Yeah, so, you know, I've met with attorneys and presented my case to many so far, and, you know, it's very difficult for them to take the time to really study all these, you know, those different types of evidence that I've been accumulating, and I guess I just need more time, you know, with attorneys to be able to have the time to...
Well, why don't you give yourself a break, as Mark had suggested, and consider looking into Daly City. Get yourself perhaps in a living situation that you feel comfortable with, and then you can decide whether or not you really want to bring some action against the landlord. But right now it sounds like you're having a very difficult, unhappy time there, and I wish you good luck, Celine.
What was the attorney that I spoke with? Would I be able to?
Well, you talked with James Coy Driscoll.
Okay.
And I'll give you his phone number if you want to give him a call.
Yeah.
He's a pretty tough guy.
Yeah, so it sounds like.
415. Listen, you ready to write?
Mm-hmm.
415-673-6000.
Okay.
You got it?
Yep, so he's the pro-tenant attorney.
Well, he's is he?
Oh,
sure.
Boy.
Of course he is. All right,
okay.
All right, good luck to you. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, call a lawyer, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. I must let all of you know, two of my very favorite guests on this program, and I consider them my stars, are James Coy Driscoll and Mark Seidenfeld. They are outstanding both as lawyers in the area of landlord-tenant as well as guests on this program. And although they are on different sides, and they've been my guests for years now on this program, not a drop of blood has ever been spilled in here.
The evening is young.
Oh, no. The evening is young, folks.
No, we'll wait to the night where you're trying to get contributions.
All right. Christina, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. So we rent a house, and we really like the place, but there have been some issues from the very beginning.
Where's the house?
It's in Redwood City.
Okay.
Legally, it's a two-bedroom, two-bath.
Mm-hmm.
But the downstairs is very large. There's an original living room,
mm-hmm.
back-to-back with a family room.
Mm-hmm.
And what's in between is a fireplace that would be shared with two rooms.
Mm-hmm.
When we rented the place, it was passed over as a three-bedroom, two-bath, which meant that the living room was actually sealed off with a couple doors
mm-hmm.
that presented the third bedroom.
Oh.
There's a big picture window in front of that bedroom that had no way of opening, so
mm-hmm.
no ventilation from the fireplace.
Mm.
On the original addendum to the rental lease, we had noted that issue, and the landlord said that she would take care of that
and provide some sort of window, which took about, we've been in here for 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It took about 2.5 years for her to do something about
it. So she's finally done something about it at this point?
So
what is your question, Christina?
I'm actually wondering, from a legal standpoint, since it isn't a legal three-bedroom, two-bath, do we have any legal standpoint, any ground to be able to recover any of our rent, being that it was actually an unhealthy situation? It's not legally a three-bedroom, two-bath, but it was...
Are you now, with respect to your original lease, are you now on a month-to-month tenancy there?
We are.
You are. Okay, I'm going to get some comments from Mark Seidenfeld, who's very experienced in terms of landlord-tenant, and then we'll hear from Coy, okay?
The short answer to your question is no. I don't think you would have any grounds for doing that. I am assuming that you looked at this house, examined it, went in toward the place before you actually moved in, and agreed to rent it as it was. The landlord was slow in making the change that you wanted, but it was done. So I really don't see any legal grounds for saying I want some rent back.
How about you, Coy? What do you think?
I think Mark is most likely right, and he, in my opinion, is certainly right for anything that happened after the original lease expired, which I imagine is after a year, because you knew the problem existed, you continued to rent knowing it existed. You could make an argument that it was uninhabitable because of that, and try to argue that the lease is void per se because it's uninhabitable, but I think it's going to be a stretch. And if you want to continue living there, you're going to have a real problem because the landlord's going to give you a 60-day notice.
Yeah, yeah.
You have no rent control, no eviction control.
I do recommend to you, Christina, actually, since obviously you in listening to this program, you're prior to, obviously, tonight, you've been thinking about this for some time. I think you also should do yourself a favor, since you're in Redwood City. Call the San Mateo County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and see if you can't get an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants in landlord-tenant matters. Would you like the phone number?
Yes, please.
Yeah, 650, of course, 369-4149. 369-4149. I think what you need to do, frankly, and it's a great investment, $35, I think you need to sit down with an attorney who represents tenants and see what the attorney has to say to you. I mean, obviously, on this program, we can't resolve the problem with certainty, and the state bar doesn't permit my guests to give specific legal advice during the course of the program. But
okay.
I think you should go to Lawyer Referral, San Mateo County Bar, and see if you can get an appointment, okay?
I will do that. One other point.
Yeah.
I'm actually a landlord myself.
Oh.
So I know that there are certain things that have to be done. One case in point, I had a place that I didn't even know at the time had some termites.
Oh.
Well, as soon as I found out, I went in, I took care of the situation, and in this case, there have been termites for the last year that I've noticed, actually 2 years that I've noticed, and I've written to the landlord, I've sent out two mailings, and spoken with her on the phone, and nothing's been done about it.
Excuse me for interrupting, Christina, but
okay.
When you say there are termites there, are they flying around in the house?
No, but there are droppings in various areas of the house, and one being in our kitchen.
Really?
Right next
wow, Mark has something to say here.
You may have a case on that. If you can get a housing inspector or a building inspector out there, if the termites are there, they will cite the landlord, and the landlord will have 30 days in which to take action.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck
to you,
Christina.
Thank you so much. That really does help.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. All right, our call a lawyer. The lawyers will be here for another few minutes. Take advantage of the fact that they're here. This is no obligation on your part whatsoever. It's a great public service they are performing. Several of these people have been doing this now for several years. I want to thank them very much, Alice O'Sullivan, Jeff Hayden, Janet Lee Frankel, Peter Fortune, J. Antonio Nieras, Jessica Chilek, John Brown, Frank Adam, Ron Rohde, and tomorrow, by the way, Leon Baer will be willing to talk with you off the air, of course, tomorrow, Thursday, between 8 a.m. and noon. If you have some problems with creditors, etc., he's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. And if you want to, in the next 5 minutes, the Call a Lawyer lawyers will be here. 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. Daniel, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, go ahead.
I heard the very beginning of your show. I thought it was an interesting question about the issue of whether medical cannabis could be smoked in a rental unit. But there were a few misconceptions about the medical cannabis law in California.
Yes.
That I'd like to tell you about.
One very briefly. Very briefly. We don't have a lot of time, but go ahead.
I know. And the first one is that, you know, a doctor cannot prescribe medical cannabis in California because the federal government has it classified as a Schedule I drug, and so what a California doctor can do is give a recommendation.
I see.
A written recommendation, and so that's the basis of the California law regarding medical cannabis.
Okay, well, thank you for clarifying that.
And so what that does then is it basically offers only an affirmative defense in court.
I see.
If a medical cannabis patient is arrested for possession, let's say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't confer any other rights in employment or even in a rental, as far as I know. I know that the employment issue was litigated all the way to the California Supreme Court, where a patient was drug tested and then fired, and the California Supreme Court said, no, you know, the employer has that right.
To fire someone who's taking cannabis through a recommendation by a medical doctor?
Yes.
I see.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you are talking, are you a lawyer?
No, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a medical cannabis activist.
Ah, I see. Very interesting. Okay.
And so then also it's unlikely that a medical cannabis patient would bring up that subject when, rent a unit.
Yeah.
Because they could probably not be denied the rental just by disclosing that information
Landlord
felt that he wanted to do that.
Very good point. Any comments from my guests on this?
Nope. It's very interesting. I was not aware of that.
Daniel, thank you very much for clarifying.
One last thing.
Yeah, go ahead, very quickly.
Most medical cannabis these days is not smoked. It's either eaten or it's used with a vaporizer, which doesn't produce smoke. So,
well, that's very interesting.
Smoking is old school.
Okay, well, that's...
Okay,
that's now I did learn something.
That's
very good to know. Okay.
Thank you,
Daniel, very much for telling us that. Again, Call a Lawyer, 1-800-525-9917. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Chuck.
And not
always a pleasure.
Not a drop of blood was spent here whatsoever.
There's always next time.
You guys are really gentlemen.
Stay tuned.
My guests have been James Coy Driscoll, whose office is in San Francisco, and Mark Seidenfeld, whose office is now in San Bruno.
San Bruno.
All right. Your Legal Rights production staff members are Joanne Marr, program engineer, and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the San Mateo County Bar Association, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, and the California Applicants Attorneys Association. Next week on the program, we'll have an update on workers' compensation laws and issues. My guests are members of the California Applicants Attorneys Association and certified specialists in workers' compensation laws, Alice O'Sullivan, Lester Friedman, and Joshua Friedman. Thank you very much for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. I hope you listen next week. Bye-bye. Yeah.